Today we return to the third part of a worship series called Our Money Story. We're looking at stories in the Bible of times when God has provided for us and times when we have provided for each other. The series is divided into four sections: Remember, Release, Reimagine, and Restore. We remembered that even though the Israelites complained, God still gave them manna to eat in the wilderness. And we remember that even though Judas betrayed his Savior, Jesus still welcomed him to the table for their Last Supper together. In the second part, we considered Jesus' challenge to a rich young man to release his personal desires, and we read the law in the book of Deuteronomy that all members of the community were to be released of their debts every 7 years. And now in this third part, we are called to reimagine our lives and the way the world could be. We're called to reimagine the story we tell. 2 weeks ago, we were challenged to reimagine the way we read the story of the widow who gave all she had to the temple treasury. Today, we dream of the year of Jubilee. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and chapter 25, verses 8 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, and 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud. On the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year. And you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return every one of you to your property, and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth, or harvest the unpruned vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces. This is the word of the Lord. 7 is a number that is used a lot in the Hebrew Bible and often has symbolic significance. In the first creation story, God took 7 days to form all of existence out of nothing. So 7 might relate to all of creation. 12, on the other hand, might relate to all of God's people, having come from the 12 tribes of Israel. We don't usually attach so much symbolism to numbers today, but when the numbers 7 and 12 show up in the Bible, they're usually important. Fun fact. So when we take part in a set of 7, a week of years in this case, we are becoming active participants in shaping the world around us, like when God shaped the world itself. And while Leviticus understands a week of years to be a 7-year period, it also gives the sense of that being a short period of time, just a few days, really, which to God it probably is. Anyway, in this passage, we are looking at an event that happens in the year after 7 sets of 7 years have passed, the Jubilee, which was to be celebrated every 50th year. The word jubilee comes from the Hebrew word for the kind of horn that was blown in celebration of the jubilee year. We read a couple weeks ago that every 7th year, all debts within a community were supposed to be forgiven. The jubilee year took that idea and multiplied it. All indentured servants were to be released from their servitude. Ancestral lands were returned to their rightful families if they had been leased to others. And even fields and vineyards were left to grow by themselves for a year without being pruned or harvested. The land would still produce, of course, and the people were allowed to pick and eat what grew, but people were called to trust that there would be enough without their intervention. It brings to mind the miracle of manna when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. Every 50 years, when the Jubilee came, people would leave their everyday lives and return to their ancestral homes. Distant cousins, childhood friends, beloved elders, all together in one place. And for a whole year, instead of working the fields, everyone would be free to praise God and to reconnect with people they maybe hadn't seen in years. It would be a once or twice in a lifetime experience. My grandfather is the oldest of three brothers, and when their mother, my legendary Grandma Maple, died, his four children and their children and his brother's children and their children all gathered together. We all helped to plant a maple tree with her ashes at the family farm. I was about 5 at the time, and there are a couple branches of my grandfather's family who I haven't ever seen again. But when I think of my extended family, I remember being in the living room of a house on a lake, with cousins running around and uncles pulling out guitars, and my grandfather and his brother deep in conversation. Thinking back on this event as an adult, I am astounded that so many people could manage to take time off from work and their daily lives to make that family reunion happen. But the Jubilee year is that family reunion. The Jubilee year was written into the code of law alongside the laws against murder and the laws about the temple and the laws that ordered society. Throughout this worship series, we've been talking about the stories that we are writing with our money, the way we express what is important to us through the dollars we spend. We are all living out our own intersecting stories, and we're all a part of God's infinite story that is so much bigger than we could ever know. Our individual stories can't stand on their own. We cannot be pulled out of the web of humanity that we are tangled up in from birth to death. God never meant for us to be alone, and the world was not truly good until the human stood beside a partner to sustain them through the dark times. We are supposed to be there for each other. In couples, in friend groups, in networks of colleagues, in families of birth and families of choice, we are supposed to be there for each other, even when it's hard. The Jubilee year is human connection, written into law. A whole year of bonding would become the roots of relationships that would stretch far and wide when the year ended and people returned to work, to the fields, to the seas, to the marketplaces. A whole year of slowing down and remembering who we are and whose we are and what is important to us. A whole year when all people are equals, because their lands have been returned to them, and their servitude has ended, and they have been released from their debts. A whole year to walk alongside all the other characters in the story of your own life. We will probably never see a Jubilee year in our lifetimes, however wonderful it would be. But when we dream about what a Jubilee would look like, we could take it as an opportunity to reimagine what our lives, our stories, our communities could look like. Our stories will have dark times. That is not weakness. That is life. But we could reimagine the world around us in a way that would support the people whose burdens are too heavy. We could reimagine the world around us in a way that would strengthen family ties and give children all the resources they need. We could reimagine the world around us in a way that would allow us to live in dignity without having to believe that we are better than anyone else in order to believe that our own lives have value. We are living in a season of reimagining. We've had to reimagine the way we do the most basic things, getting groceries, connecting with friends, working, learning, worshiping. We are realizing that there were many things we always took for granted, and we are realizing that there are ways of doing things other than the way we've always done them. We may not be living in a jubilee year, but we are living in a season of reimagining. And we can reimagine the way we live and interact with the world around us, so that someday, when we are gone, the stories that other people tell about us will be stories worth telling, stories that future generations can be proud of.